This is First Nation Ministries. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to Native American tribes throughout North America, providing food, clothing, and other life essentials. Now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Betcher. We'll pick up where we left off on Thursday as Deborah continues with her teaching, Who is Lost in My House?
So let's talk about some specific ways to pray for our family. Romans 14:1 says, accept Christians who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. I have a family member who was raised in the church. He knows the scripture probably better than I do, he was one to really study, and he's a mess. It's like for a while he'll straighten up, and then, well, he's alcoholic for one thing, so he goes off the wagon and does stupid things. I think he's been married 8 times, and just a mess, a hot mess. He likes to argue about scripture, and I just won't do it. That's not what we need to do. Obviously, his faith is weaker than mine, and so it's not my job to argue with him about it. I just need to pray. Jesus said, I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together because they are mine, I am there among them. Matthew 18:19-20. You know, that's a comfort to me because my roommate, who is also my sister-in-law, and I agree on these things. We have children that we're praying for and family members and friends, and we both love the Lord. And right here it says, where two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything, my Father in heaven will do it for you. And it may not happen next week or next year. It may be a lifetime down the road. But you know, if you go sliding in under the gate, as long as you get in there, it's good. It's a good thing. Isaiah 57:1-2 says, the righteous pass away. The godly often die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is protecting them from the evil to come. For the godly who die will rest in peace. I have to tell you, when I read this and it kind of jumped out at me, it was such a comfort to my heart. I've told you before that my elder son committed suicide when he was 24 years old. And I didn't blame God. I didn't, like Corrie Ten Boom said, I didn't wrestle, I just nestled. I got real close to the Lord, and he saved me from losing my mind. But I didn't understand it, and I just figured that maybe when I got to heaven, then it would be made plain to me. And it doesn't affect my faith in God or my love for him, because I know everything that happens to me is working together for my good. But then when this jumped out at me, it was like protecting him from the evil to come. Maybe God, who knows the future, knew that if he left my beloved little Seth here, that maybe he would have missed heaven. And so he took him, let him come home to heaven to keep him safe from the evil to come. What a comfort to my heart. And you know what? Don't let people tell you that if they commit suicide, they're going to go straight to hell. We don't know that. And I know the church used to teach that, and I know there's others of you that have reached out and let me know that your children have committed suicide also. But you know, only God can judge the heart and the mind. Because people who kill themselves have lost hope. Something has gone wrong in their mind to where they have lost hope. I believe that my son is in heaven. And now that this verse kind of jumped out at me, maybe that it was a protection. Well, moving on. James 5:14-16 says, is there any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And their prayer, offered in faith, will heal the sick, and the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. So, what is this telling us? This is power praying. The weapon we have is authority in the name of Jesus. Look at John 16:24. And authority in the blood of Jesus. Look at Ephesians 1:17 and Revelation 12:1. And then let's talk about, too, the authority of the Word of God. Look at Ephesians 6:17 and Revelations 12:11. This is kind of tactical use of the Scripture. It's like the Scripture likens us to soldiers in a war. And the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I understand why. So these are things that we can use. Let's talk first about praying in the authority of the name of Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus ushers in His presence. You know, when you pray in Jesus' name, He comes. When the Lord is present, miracles happen because nothing is impossible with Him. And He said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three come together in My name, there I am with them. And then let's look at 1 Corinthians 5:4. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present. He promised that praying in His name would bring answers to our prayers. Whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, and the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's John 14:13. Let's look at John 15:16. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in My name. Let's look at John 16:24-26. Until now you have not asked for anything in My name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about My Father. In that day you will ask in My name. See, the name of Jesus is exalted above every name, and He has all authority. Then let's talk about the bread of life. Jesus' name is both a physical and a spiritual provision. He is the bread of life. John 6:35. John 7:37-38. He is living water. Things are renewed and refreshed and cleansed in His name. He is the light of the world, John 8:12. In His name there is insight, there is wisdom, there is power over darkness. He is the door, John 10:7. Jesus' name is the door to all possibilities for the future. He is the door to the ark of salvation that we are building for our families in faith. He is the Good Shepherd, John 10:11. Jesus nurtures us, guides us, cares for us, protects us. He is the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. You see, through His name, Jesus delivers us from death into life. He has all power, all resurrection power. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. You see, by the power of His name, He makes a way where there is no way. I love that little chorus. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He helps us to discern right from wrong, lies from the truth. In Him, we have life, not just survival, but life. And the Bible says, and that more abundantly. He is the true vine. John 15:1. In Jesus' name, we are connected to and rooted to God. And through His name, our lives can produce lasting fruit. Then let's talk about the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus saves us and cleanses us from all sin. in Hebrews 10, 12, 19, and 22, "But our high priest offered himself to God as one sacrifice for our sins, good for all time. And then he sat down at the place of highest honor at God's right hand. And so, dear friends, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. For our evil consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." When we pray in his name, we apply the blood of Jesus to our family members, asking him to convict and save and heal and deliver them through the power of his shed blood. Then let's talk closing with the word of Jesus. You know, Jesus told his disciples, "It is the Spirit who gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." You'll find that in John 6, 63. Jesus is the word, and he has words of life. And so we must pray the authority of his word over the lives of our unsaved family. You can start by reading the Gospels and reading the Psalms to kind of plug into scriptures that talk about his word and the power of his word. We are out of time. Listen to Dad tomorrow. Tune us in next week, and we'll finish up this series. God bless you real good.
Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. On Friday, join us for our classic edition of First Nation Ministries with our founder, Reverend Don Klein. I love to tell the story. You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.